And it's Pasuk Chaf Gimel, which is, so we just finished with those beautiful chukim, those shatnis and all of that, and now we're moving on to the topic of Arla. So let's see the Pesukim. We'll read the Pesukim first, and then we'll see the Mefarshim that we have. It's a very beautiful topic, interesting topic. And interestingly enough, although it applies more in Eretz Yisrael, it definitely applies here as well. So let's see the in-depth concepts in the Mefarshim and in Rashi. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Gimel says, V'chi savayu el ha'aretz, when you shall come into the land, unetatem kol eitz maichal, and you shall plant a tree which gives fruit, v'araltem arlasai, and here they translate it, you shall treat its fruit as arla. Well, that's not a very good translation at all. So let's look into Rashi right away to see how to translate that pasuk. Rashi says, on the bottom, I'll just scroll down a little bit. Rashi says, here, he says, V'araltem es arlasai. These words mean literally, V'atamtem atimasai. You shall block its blockages. According to Rashi, the word arla comes from the word to block, to cause a blockage. It's interesting. It's like on the foreskin, you know, you have somebody who doesn't have a bris mila is called somebody who is an arl, because there's something blocking still. There's still a skin blocking. And here we call it a blockage. Well, I have to understand what this means. And then he says, Rashi continues, Yehei otum v'nistam. It shall be blocked and closed off, which means milehanais mimenu, from deriving benefit from it. What does it mean it's blocked? It's blocked from us using it. So these trees, for the first 3 years, they are arla. We cannot access them. We're not permitted to access, to use, to eat them. And then the pasuk continues. So we're in the middle of the pasuk. So he says, how many years shalishanim yi yelachem areilim? For 3 years they should be for you arla. And then the pasuk continues, and it says, lo ye achel, you shall not eat them. Right? They should not be eaten, actually, to be exact. Right? They shall not be eaten. Okay, let's see. I just want to see if there was a Rashi finished on the other. Yeah, okay. Now, what Rashi, very interesting thing that it says, 3 years they shall not be eaten. From when? Where do these 3 years start from?
From the time the fruit comes off.
Oh, so you might think, you know, that would make the most sense to us. You're right, Rona. We would think that from the time that you have the fruits, that's when you have to count 3 years. Let's see what he says in Rashi. Very good. So let's see Rashi says, from when does he begin to count the 3 years? Mishas nitiasai, from the time of its planting. This is very interesting. And then he goes on and he says, yachol, so what, very interesting, from the time that it was planted, you count 3 years, and then you can start to eat from the fruits. But we have a fascinating thing that also the pasuk is telling us with one extra word. It says, yachol im hitznia. So this is on the second page, the Rashi. It's on the top of the Rashi. Yachol im hitznia. One might be able to think that if he stored the fruits of the first 3 years away, la'achar shalishanim, after 3 years, yehei mutar, it would be permitted. You might think, so it's growing, put it in a storehouse, I won't eat it for those 3 years, but after that, then I can eat it. So the Pasuk tells us, Talmud Leimar, the Pasuk says, Yihye, just the word Yihye. What does the word Yihye teach us? Exactly, and it stays. It will be, and it remains how it is. In other words, Bahava Yosa Yehe, it shall remain in its state of being forbidden. It's an interesting thing. It's a hard mitzvah because we plant, we work hard, the fruits grow, and we can't access them. We know that most fruits don't anyways grow, but still there are some that will grow initially, and they'll be there, and they'll be enticing for us. And it's not even as if we can say, I'll just wait 3 years and then I'll enjoy them. You're not going to enjoy those fruits. You'll enjoy the fruits afterwards, but those you will never enjoy. So it's actually not an easy mitzvah, especially if, you know, somebody's working hard in the field, the farmer who's doing all that extra work. It is not an easy mitzvah. And we'll see that the pasuk will actually give us a clue that it's not an easy mitzvah in a minute. We'll see. So let's continue in the psukim. That's the basic, the first pasuk. This mitzvah has three parts almost in a way. And it goes on, and the pasuk of Dalit says, U'bishona harevis. Now, so after the 3 years, what happens in the fourth year? Yihye kol piryoi all of its fruits shall be kodesh, sanctified. Hilulim laHashem. And the word hilulim is like the word hallel. Exactly. So they're praising to Hashem. What does that mean? How are the fruits in the fourth year praising to Hashem? And it's not even, it's like, it shall be. It's like telling us it has to be. What are we doing with them that they made? Oh, so we take them, actually, interestingly, not necessarily to the Beis HaMikdash. That we do with Bikurim, right? And we give them to the Kohen. Do you know what happens with them? This is a very interesting mitzvah. The fruits of the fourth year. And you know, let's look. We can see in Rashi. Rashi will tell us before we go to the next pasuk. So if you go on the bottom to the Rashi. Okay, yeah, very good. It says like this. All its fruits shall be sanctified. So he compares it, what you just said, Leah, was, okay, so it's more like Bikurim, what you said. There is a concept of, and we'll see this is a bit compared, but here Rashi says it's similar to the mitzvah of Maiser Sheni. You know that we have different types of Maiser, different types of tithes, some given to the poor, some given to the Levi, and then we have something called Maiser Sheni. What happens with Maiser Sheni? Shekosov boy, v'chol Maiser ha'aretz v'goymer kodesh l'Hashem, any tithe of the land is holy for Hashem. What do we do with Maiser Sheni? Ma Maiser Sheni einoy ne'echol chutz l'choymas Yerushalayim. Just like Maiser Sheni, you are not permitted to eat any of it outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. So it's not in the Beis HaMikdash, it's in the whole city of Yerushalayim. It's a very beautiful mitzvah, this. It's very fascinating. So obviously this is similar. We have to take the fruits of the fourth year. We have to take it up to Yerushalayim, and that's where we can enjoy them. And he says, Ella bepidyon, the only way you can is if you redeem them, which means that, like, it would be even more for the Orla. Let's just say you have a lot of fruit trees. I mean, and to go schlep all the fruits of the fourth year up to Yerushalayim, it's impossible. It's too much. So what can you do? You can sell it, take the money, and use the money in Yerushalayim. You still have to buy instead. You still have to go to Yerushalayim, and you could, that money you could only use to buy stuff in Yerushalayim. But then you're redeeming those fruits and you can eat them out of Yerushalayim, the actual fruits itself. But I think you have to also add a fifth, you add a bit more to it, and then you spend it in Yerushalayim. So very beautiful, if you think about it, just on a very simple level. This is not what the Mefarshim, don't really go into this, but just on a simple level, it's such a phenomenal thing that the economy of Yerushalayim is always insured almost, because there's always going to be people coming up, okay, besides to the Beis HaMikdash, but with their meiser, or a lot of people will come with their money and spend it and buy things there. It's going to be something which will, and people will have to find somewhere to stay. There's always going to be people. It's such a magnificent thing where you see how it ensures the not only the holiness, but the specialness and also another beautiful thing. And I'll tell you why I say this is interesting, because we were very lucky. You know, I grew up in Crown Heights. I mean, I grew up in New Jersey, but I was in Crown Heights for not far. And we always said one beautiful thing was that people always came, right? Because people always came to see the Rebbe. So that's very nice. But there was an additional benefit that we know we're missing now. Because people came there all the time, people saw each other. It actually even helped with Shidduchim. It helped with many things. Because at all times, you were mixing with people from all over the world. It was like a regular occurrence. You go, you meet up. It's like we have it in a mini way when we go to shul on Shabbos. That's when we see people. But this is in a much more beautiful, we have people from all over, different people mixing. It's such a magnificent thing that really keeps an achdus in the whole Jewish nation. So you always have, wherever you live, the north, the south of Eretz Israel, wherever you're living, you have a center, and eventually you're going to get there. And who knows who you're going to meet this time. It's such a beautiful, beautiful idea.
So the money they have to spend in Yerushalayim.
On what? I know, I'm not sure. I should look that up later. I think it doesn't matter.
Stuff you have to pay to the Kohanim.
Oh, to the Kohanim. Yes, yes. But this, no. This, you eat it yourself. Ah. This is for your own benefit. It's very, because this fourth year fruits you eat on your own.
You can go any time of the year.
Yeah, it seems that way. Oh. It seems you can go any time in the year.
Because
yeah.
The thought of the economy of
that. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing.
It's
a phenomenal, every benefit.
So.
Okay, so nowadays, well, Arla we do keep, as we know, I don't think the fourth year, because there's no such concept of holiness. It has a holiness to it, and we don't have that now, so. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Okay, in Israel we keep, or even out of Israel we keep Arla, if we know. Like if we plant our own plant, we shouldn't eat from it the first 3 years. But we don't have to go checking.
Is it only for fruit trees? Or
it seems, okay, so it seems fruit trees. It says fruit and grapes, you know, but it doesn't say anything else. It seems it's the fruit trees.
So for
it doesn't say, it doesn't, no, it's just the fruits. Because I think fruits are trees that grow. Potato you have to plant every year. Think about it, a vegetable you have to plant every year. Remember, so this is fruit trees that grow. I know. So then if you know that for sure, that's fine. You know, if they can tell you that. Right. But otherwise, you'd have to wait. Yeah. And sometimes people plant a seed, then you for sure have to wait. But yeah, you're right. If it's already been a tree and you know for sure, you know, you'd have to know. Okay. So let's see now, just to go quickly a little bit, one more pasuk, because then we finish this, kind of like, to understand the unit, how it works. I don't know why I'm not managing to. Okay, here we go. So the last pasuk tells us, Ubishona hachamishis, and what happens in the fifth year? Finally, taichlu es piria, then you can eat its fruits. But then the pasuk doesn't stop there. He says something quite incredible. Lahaisif lachem tuasai, in order to increase its crop for you, ani Hashem aleikechem, I am Hashem your God. What does it mean? What's going to increase? Who's increasing? So let's see what Rashi tells us. What does the pasuk mean here? So Rashi says, L'hoisif lachem tvuasai, han mitzvah hazay shetishmeru, this mitzvah that you will observe, see it's in the bottom, the Rashi 25. Tihyeh, l'hoisif lachem tvuasai, to increase its crop for you, shebischara ani mevarech lachem peiris hanetiyos. For its as its reward, I bless the fruit of the plantings for you. If you keep the mitzvah of Arla, and it's not easy, Hashem says in the fifth year, there'll be an excess growing, so you won't feel that you've lost out. And that's what Rabbi Akiva used to say, Hayo Rabbi Akiva Aimer, Dibra Taira Keneged Yetzahara. The Torah is talking, as we say, against the Yetzahara, the evil inclination. Shalo Yemer Ador, a person shouldn't say, Hare Arba Shonim, now for 4 years, Ani Mitztair Bay, I am troubling myself, I'm working hard, right, to water and to prune and to do everything, Chinam for nothing, how can the Torah expect me to keep these mitzvahs, these laws of Arla? So therefore, Lefichach Nemar, Lahaisif, and as he says, not only that, but the fourth year also we have to keep, so he says, Lahaisif Lachem Tfuasai, in order to increase its crop for you. And that's why it finishes the pasuk and says, Ani Hashem, Hamavtiach al kach, who makes the promise about this, V'neman l'shmar haftachasi, and I'm trustworthy to keep my promise. The only one that could ensure us that is Hashem himself. He can promise and he can keep it. He can make sure that more will grow in the fifth year. Something just cute, he says, Rabbi Akiva, he's the one that tells us that the Torah has to speak to the Yetzirah, because, you know, it's quite a difficult thing for us. It's a challenge in our mind, saying, oh my gosh, how can we do it? If you think of Rabbi Akiva's life, so what's this mitzvah? 4 years, right? And then 40 years, he didn't learn, right? 40 years. He was only 40 when he started. In Rabbi Akiva's mind, okay, so the first 40 years was a waste, but it's okay. Now I can start. Now I can start learning. A very interesting thing. It's an interesting parallel. But the fascinating thing is what that means is, and this is what we're going to analyze when we get to the fifth year, it's not that the 4 years are a waste in any way. There's no wastage here at all. And the fifth year, which seems at the time that we can benefit, and yet also, if you think about it, it's a funny order. Usually in Torah, it doesn't work like that. Usually you go either from the lowest to the highest, or from the highest to the lowest. What do I mean? So the first 3 years, obviously, they're impure, right? You can't touch these fruits. So that's like the lowest. The fourth year, it's holy, right? Yeah, you can only eat it in Yerushalayim. So that's a mitzvah, right? The fifth year seems to be the middle year, right? That's the time that you can enjoy it wherever you want, but it's not holy, it's just permissible. So it's a very strange order. It's going from one extreme to the other extreme and then to the middle. It's funny, it's not like we're gradually getting higher and higher. It's interesting if you think about it. We would have thought maybe that we have not holy, and then we get to the middle range where it's pariv, and then we get to the holy, That's not how it works. But we have to understand, what is this fifth year? Why is it even stated in the pasuk? Because it could have just said, do this for 3 years, and the fourth year take it to Yerushalayim, and we would have assumed, obviously now, we can enjoy it. I mean, we're allowed to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And yet the pasuk makes it into a whole special event, that in the fifth year, it's going to grow a lot, and you can eat it wherever you like, it's yours. What does it mean? So we'll understand that, we'll come back to that. Okay, so yes, sure, Sylvia, sure. And is that all? Does he mean
lies
desolate? Yeah. So it does say in the Chumash, it does say that when we believe the land, it will be desolate, and we do find that that's what happens, right? If you look through the history, it's quite amazing.
It's desolate.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
That's it. 100%.
100%.
Yeah, in the pasuk it does say in the Chumash it says because when it talks about us not following the laws of Shemitah or different laws, and it says we will be exiled from the land and the land will lay desolate.
So it doesn't matter what lot of people would plant.
Doesn't seem to work. No, that doesn't seem, does it? To look at the history, yeah. It's interesting. Okay, just one quick thing, sorry, before we go further, I missed a bit of the middle Rashi, I realize. We were doing Rashi 24, I'm sorry, just to go back for a second, just want to show you one thing, because we compared it to Ma'aser Sheni, and we were saying that Ma'aser Sheni is only eaten, he can't be eaten outside the walls of Yerushalayim, only after its redemption. And then just the last two lines, it says, Av Zeh Kan and Kain, so to this mitzvah, which is, what is this idea of Hilulim? Remember, we mentioned that word like Halel Hashem, Shenoisai Shem, because he carries the fruit of the fourth year to Yerushalayim, L'Shabeyach U'Lahalel L'Shamayim, to praise and to Lord Heaven, in other words, to give praises to Hashem. And we'll have to understand what that means, how we are praising Hashem with these fruits. Okay, let's go to the next page. The next page is the Mefarshim. So we'll see in a second. Here. Okay, now we come to the Ramban. So look at the next page, we'll see the Ramban. Beautiful, beautiful. A few insights into understanding this mitzvah. It's a really beautiful mitzvah. And as we said, it's not an easy mitzvah, but it has so much depth and so much. And actually, we'll see how, even if we're not farmers, and even if we don't plant a fruit tree in our back garden, there is something about this mitzvah that we all do in our lives. And let's see how it works.
What do they do with the fruits that are on the tree?
I'm not sure if they take it off and throw it out. I don't know, Leia, because you can't eat it. Or maybe they just let it fall, you know, I don't know. Because I think after a while, what happens to a fruit if you leave it and
it's
you don't pick it?
Okay,
so you have to pick it. It won't fall down on its own, it doesn't?
It sounds, but it's very bad for the tree. The tree needs, when you take it off, you need, this is a new...
Okay, interesting. Because some of them version do explain that even for the health of the tree, this is good, because what you're going to do is you're going to prune the tree, like you're going to be taking care of it, and not necessarily to eat it, and it will give it strength. But I don't know, it's interesting.
It fertilizes the ground.
The ground, I'm not sure.
Fruit falls. Down.
Yeah, well, some of it does, but
the ground,
yeah.
I
don't know.
They don't eat the whole fruit.
Fruit, yeah, I'm not sure. I have to check that up later. I'm not sure practically. I know. It's crazy. It's true. Okay, so let's see the Rambam. So the Rambam says, right away giving us an explanation, v'tam ha-mitzvah, what's the reason for this mitzvah? So first of all, l'chabe des Hashem, to honor Hashem, mireishis kol tvu aseinu, from the first of all of our crops, as we say, and here specifically, mipri ha'etz, from the fruits of the tree, utfuas hakerim, and from the vineyard. So what do we want to do with the first ones? V'loim noichal mehem, we will not eat from them, at shenovi kol prishona achas, hilulim laHashem, until we take for the fruits of a complete year up to Hashem and sing praises to Hashem. So the question is, why don't we do it the first year? Why don't we just take the first year, the fruits, and take it up to Yerushalayim? And after that, we should be able to enjoy it. So the Ramban explains, Lefi, he says, V'hine ein ha-pri, b'seich shalosh shonim ro'oi l'hakrivay lifnei Hashem hanechbat. Because the fruits of the first 3 years are not worthy, they're not fitting, they're not good enough quality for us to take them up to Hashem. Why? First of all, lefishehu muat, because the first 3 years, the trees don't produce so many fruits. So it's only going to be a little bit. So that won't be a very honorable activity. The next thing, the ein ha'ila noisein bepiryoi, tamay reyach taiv, b'seich shalai shanim. The first 3 years, the fruit doesn't have as good a taste. Like mature, you know, it doesn't have that mature taste. So it's not, it's like we say, it doesn't have not a good taste, not a good flavor, until after the 3 years. So best not to use that to give Hashem. That wouldn't be the honor to Hashem. And then he says, "V'ruban lo yitziu peiros klal." And most trees don't even give off any fruits at Hashanah Harviyis until the 4th year. "U'lekach namtin lekulam." So therefore, we have to wait. "V'lo nitay mehem," we won't taste from them. "At shenavi min haneta shenatanu kol piri harishayim hatoiv," until we take from the first good fruits, right, that we have planted, kodesh lifnei Hashem, as holy before Hashem. And then v'sham yechlu, and there we will eat it. So it has a sanctified, it becomes, it's not stam. These fruits, the fruits of the 4th year, have a certain status. You can, it's like, you have to be very careful with them. Like we next year we'll have the year of Shemitah. The fruits also have a certain status. But there's certain halachas, I'm not sure of all the halachas, but certain halachas of what, obviously we can't eat it out of Yerushalayim, but certain things that you can and can't do with them. So they have a holiness to them. And as he says, and then we praise Hashem, "Afa mitzvah hazais, doime le mitzvahs habikurim." So according to the Ramban, this mitzvah is very similar to Bikurim in the concept where you take the first fruits and you go off to Yerushalayim, but with Bikurim, you give it to the Kohen. Here, we actually ourselves enjoy it in Yerushalayim. We're going to see soon what the point of that is. After the year of Yerushalayim, which means we give it to Hashem, then we can have the benefits from it. Okay. Then the Ramban says, the emes hadavarai, then another fact, another true fact, ki ha-pri b'tchilas netiyas ha-ilanois. So at the beginning, when the fruits, at the beginning of the planting, in other words, the first 3 years, rav halachos dovek ma'oid, mazik leguf, ve'inenu toiv la'achla. There's a lot of moisture, and there's a lot of moisture which is actually harmful, detrimental for the health of the person. Fascinating. I don't know scientifically how that works, but according to Ramban, he says that there's something that's not healthy about the fruits in the first 3 years. And he says, like, and he gives an example, and he says another thing that's like that, kidog she'ein lo kaskeses, like a fish that doesn't have scales. According to the Ramban, the fish without scales is not so healthy, and that's why we don't eat them. They're not kosher. I don't know. And all the foods that are forbidden in the Torah, ra'im gam leguf, they are bad also for the body. So it's a very interesting thing. You see the Ramban writes, gam leguf, also for the body, which means the main thing is for the neshama. Because even if scientifically now we'll say, oh, it's not harmful, it doesn't matter. Because the main point is it's harmful for the neshama. But also a side bet thing is that it's also harmful for the body. Okay, that's a very interesting thing. And then the Ramban gives another thing he quotes from the Rambam. How does the Rambam look at this mitzvah? Vaharav, so the Rambam, he's quoting, Nosan Gambazetam, he gives also in this a reason, B'mayr Nevuchim, right, in the Guide to the Perplexed, Ketamay Bereiv HaMitzvahs, like his reason that he gives for many mitzvahs. And what is that? Again, the same theme that he has. In those times, there were magicians and sorcerers who had all kinds of magic. And what did they used to do? They used to do these kind of magical ceremonies at the time of the planting. And what did they hope? They hoped that with all of these things that they do, this magic, they're going to make the fruits and the trees grow quicker. To make that the fruits come out before it's meant to. Quicker than the natural way. They thought they can, I don't know, do some hocus pocus and make it come out before. And then what would happen is, when the fruits actually came out, they would take these fruits to their idols, that she'asu b'shmo hakishuf ahu, in whose name they had been doing this magic. And therefore, what does the Torah want us? To stay far from this time kinds of practices. So the Torah commands us, but asur hapri habakaidem shalayshanim, to forbid us from eating the fruits that come before 3 years. Shalayavayu la'asais hamaisim hara'im ahim. So we shouldn't come to doing these terrible actions. What does this mean? Simply, we won't be motivated. Who cares? Because even if the fruits will grow, we can't eat from them. So why will we engage in any of these magical practices? We might as well wait for the fruits to come naturally the way they're meant to grow. After 3 years, most trees, I mean, there are some that take much longer, but the trees that don't will give their fruits anyways. And so what's the point? And that will keep us away from these type of bad practices, as he says. This is the Rambam's view. Most trees give fruits in the fourth year. And then not only won't we eat it by the Avodah Zarah, but what will we do? We will focus our attention to who is the one who provides us with all these fruits. It's Hashem. That's why we take it up to the Beis HaMikdash. Hepech, the exact opposite. Achlam oisai lefnei Avodah Zarah, to those who eat it by their idols. So this is the Rambam's view in many of the mitzvahs, as we've seen already a few times over and over, to keep away, because again, we don't relate to it, but in those times, they were very steeped in idol worship, so we have to do this to keep us away from that. Okay, let's see, the Rashbam says just something very nice, just a clear, a little bit of clarity. So he says, when we talk about the fact that in the fourth year, these fruits are called holy, and they're holy in order to praise Hashem, so he says, Kodesh, they are holy, k'maiser sheni, as we already saw, just like maiser sheni, la'aychlai b'Yerushalayim, to eat them in Yerushalayim, u'lahala l'bayrei, to praise our Creator. She'kein matzinu b'maiser sheni, she'yechlu b'makay masher yivchar, that we eat the fruit in the place that Hashem chose, l'man tilmad, in order for us to learn, li'yira es Hashem, in other words, that we become accustomed to have fear of Hashem, Elekecha kol hayamim, all the days of our life. Yerushalayim, we know, what is the name Yerushalayim? Also from Yira. It has a few meanings, but also from fear of God, right? Or Yerushalayim, or whatever it is. And this is the idea that we're going to take it up. When we go to Yerushalayim, to the place of holiness, it will also instill within us more fear of God. Again, it compels us to go. Because as we know, even though we want to, we know we all want to, but who makes the time? So here you're forced. And this is the idea. It's a very beautiful thing. Okay, let's see now how the Aruch Hayim will explain it. Again, a little bit, all different slants on the mitzvah, but beautiful ideas. And we're going to see soon. To me, one of the most beautiful things is that going up to Yerushalayim is such a magnificent part. But let's see how the Aruch Hayim, so it's on the second side of the same page. When you come to the land. So first of all, the Aruch Hayim points out something quite beautiful. When we read the Pasuk, we didn't know this, but the Aruch Hayim says, if you look at the Pasuk, it says, V'chi savoyu el ha'aretz, when you come to the land, unetatem kol eitz, and you plant all the trees, fruit trees, trees that give food, and then you should do the mitzvah of Arla, right? So it's interesting, because the Torah we know is very exact, and it's almost like it's telling us a story, you know? Come to the land, you're going to plant the fruits. It doesn't have to tell us that. It should just say that you can't eat from the fruits of the trees for the first 3 years. So the Aruch Hayim points out beautifully. He says, Gimel mitzvahs nemru kan. This pasuk is telling us three mitzvahs that we wouldn't even have realized. The first one is, Bias ha'aretz, that we should come to the land. Al derech Imram, hakol mailin le'eretz Yisrael. Right? We should all go up to the land of Israel. Going up to the land of Israel is a mitzvah. So just that in itself is a mitzvah, when you come to the land. Now, second thing, when you do come to Eretz Yisrael, lintoya kol eitz maichol l'shevach ha'aretz, to plant all lots of fruit trees to praise, for the praise of the land. It's actually beneficial for the land, not only physically, but it makes it into a beautiful land. And the third thing, linhoig shnei arla, to keep the years of arla. So three different mitzvahs that we wouldn't have noticed, so to speak, in a sense. He says it's not just a story, it's not just what might happen, it's what we should make sure that it should happen. So that's, okay, like years, he says, years, yes, okay. Let's see now. Now he's going to explain something really beautiful. What's the point of this mitzvah according to the Aruch Hayim? How does he see? What's his insight? So he says, It's another hint. When you will come into the land. What Aruch Haim says is that the mitzvah starts as you are entering Eretz Yisrael, even before you start planting. What does this mean? With the attitude that you have for coming into Eretz Yisrael, why you're coming there, why you're living there, and why you're settling the land. What should be your whole perspective? So he says that it shouldn't be hakavana lite avayin hamur goshais, not just for like the physical pleasure. How do you say it in Leia? What would you say? Yeah, just to enjoy, you know, something that you feel that feels good, the feel good part. That shouldn't be the purpose, the perspective. Elatia kavana sabiela aretz. What should be the intention that you have when you come to the land? Lechibuv, for the love, lechashek haaretz, and to cherish the land. What kind of a land is it? Hakdaisha, the holy land. Asher bochar Hashem ba, that Hashem chose. Har Hashem shma, right? This is, so to speak, the mountain of Hashem. This is Hashem's country. V'amar ki ein kavanas divrei zeh lahachlit hamenia meishtadel b'yishuv haaretz, ela unetatem. Right? What should we do? We shouldn't, like, so to speak, not settle the land, right? Rather, Rob, what should we make sure? We should go to the land, have the perspective we're going because it's a holy country, and then when we get there, we should plant. Which, why? So he says, ha, lamadata shemashe hitna b'maymer el ha'aretz hu b'vchinas tachlis hamachshava shetia lemaylas ha'aretz b'mushkalais v'loy, sorry, b'muskalais loy lahana'as haguf. Not only when we come to the land, we come with the right perspective, but even while we're planting. Well, we plant because we need to eat. No. The Aruch Haim says there has to be a deeper thing, another motivation. Why are we planting? Why are we putting so much effort into the agriculture of the land? He says, because, let's see how he says, not for the pleasure of the body, rather for the upkeep and for the beauty and for the, if you want to say, it's not just the beauty, but it's more like the importance. You give the land such an incredible status because it's a land that produces a lot of fruits. So it's not for the physical pleasure, it's more for making this a successful, fruitful country. So again, it's for the sake of Hashem. The whole thing, that's the perspective that we have while we're doing even these physical things. I have to say, interesting that for people like nowadays, you know, people move to Eretz Yisrael or all through the generations and we try, we go, we visit, whatever it may be. It's a hard country in many ways. And people would say, I mean, I think about it from Australia especially, you know, the children who go. I mean, it's such a good life here. You have the best life. It's so easy. It's so calm. There's no wars. You have what to eat. There's nothing to worry about. And you go and you move to a country that we know it's not an easy place to live in any way. Well, that's right, exactly right. And it's challenging in a lot of ways. And yet, we still do it. But it's because what the Aruch Haim says, because what's the motivation? Not for a better life. People don't go to Eretz Yisrael for a better life. That's not what's going to motivate them. They go to Eretz Yisrael because it's a holy country. There's some connection that our neshama has to the land. That's it, exactly, that's it. We don't even understand, but it's this pull. But we have to remember to keep that perspective, because otherwise it doesn't work, as we say.
If it's a farmer anywhere else in the world, a Jewish farmer, Shemar, Mitzvot, and everything, can he do this? Can he not eat his fruit for 3 years?
Well, for 3 years you shouldn't eat the fruit. If you are a farmer and you know that you've planted
and
it, yeah.
And in this day and age, could you perhaps airlift it to you?
No, so the fourth year you wouldn't, because we don't have that part. No. Too bad. But we can still go and spend our money in Eretz Yisrael. It's always a good thing. Okay. So he says, for Elisha, now he gives another very beautiful insight. Maybe Sheraimis is hinting, but Imrei eats Michael when he talks about fruit trees that we eat, right? That's the kind of trees we're talking about. Not just any tree, but a tree that produces fruit. What are we talking about? Al Bnei Torah. On people who learn Torah. Shegam heim nikru netayim, because we know that people who learn Torah, this is also called like trees, plants. They give off fruits, right? That's the idea. What does it mean? K'mayish Amar Rabbi Yosi, hey be'ilais ba'alti, v'hei netiyas natati. whatever, he lived with his wife, and he gave, and he had five sons, he says. And what are they called? V'nikra'im. So these children are called eitz. They're like trees. Kimei ha'eitz, yimei ami, like the days of the trees, the days of my nation. In other words, people, as we know, are compared to a tree. You shouldn't destroy the fruit, the trees. Why? We're talking about a person who learns Torah. And what is we? So what is the mitzvah here? Hashem commands that what should be the main purpose of entering Eretz Yisrael? Lintaya ba'etz maichol, to plant trees that give food, which means shehem bnei Torah. We are talking about cultivating people. That's what we're talking. Not just fruits, not just physical trees, but people. People who will do what? Who will be fruitful. Who's a fruitful person? Somebody who learns. Somebody who grows in their Torah, and then they can teach others. This is what we have to cultivate, and that's what Eretz Yisrael is for, because we know it says, Ki avira shel Eretz Yisrael machkim, right? The air of Eretz Yisrael causes intelligence, if you want to say. It's a smart land. It brings out smart people. Okay. Umetaher anefesh, and it purifies the soul. V'nikra ben Taira eitz maichel, and a person who learns Taira is called a tree that gives fruit. Ki mimenu mazen lanefesh, because it sustains the soul. V'tseyu l'mad ma'isesh Rabbi Akiva. Shalima Taira la'isei tinek. There's a whole story that's explained that there was an orphan, Nebuch, whose father unfortunately died, and not in a good way. He wasn't a good man, his father. And he wasn't having a very good time in Shemayim. He was suffering tremendously. And this child was left an orphan. And especially the fact that he didn't have such a good father, so nobody really took him under their wing. And he wasn't even being taught. And the father was suffering in the higher realms. And this poor boy obviously was being neglected here. Rabbi Akiva took him under his wing, and it says he taught him Torah. And he says, "V'nosun b'tzara g'daylo." So we're talking about the father. He was in terrible pain. U'miyayim shapasach piv b'divrei Torah, nena aviv ba'olam ha'elyon. When the child started to learn Torah, obviously Rabbi Akiva, being a tzaddik, was given a message that from the father, that he thanked him, that now things are much better for me in the higher realms. It's a very powerful, beautiful idea. But we see here that it's not just the benefit for the people down here, and not just for the child, but it even benefits the previous generations, even in the higher realms. So this is an incredible fruits that come out. Okay, and then the Aruch Chaim continues about the 3 years. V'amar gimel shanim yelach amareilim, right? It should be blocked for 3 years. So we say, we explain perish atumim, they are blocked. Shela yetzei mehem tziftzuf Torah. So he says a beautiful thing. This is compared, because now we're talking about people, right? We say we're planting not just physical trees, but people. What happens to a child? The first 3 years, a child can barely speak. He's just learning how to speak. And you can't teach him very much. I mean, the truth is nowadays, we do teach the children a lot, but it's not real Torah. You can't teach. So that's the first 3 years, as we say. She'at shalei shanim enatinek yachol adaber, because the child really can't speak properly till he's three. But what happens u'bishana ha'revis, in the child's 4th year, which means when the child turns 3, she'hischil adaber, he begins to speak, yilamdu laimar, so we have to teach him to say Teret Ziva Lanu and Shema Yisrael. And this is called v'zeyikra kodesh hilulim. V'zeyikari kodesh hilulim. This is what we're saying. It's so beautiful. So the first 3 years, it's like the orla. Okay, it grows. It has to grow. But nothing really holy comes from it. The 4th year, you start to teach the child all the different psukim. And it's holy. He's like holy to Hashem. And what happens in the 5th year, u'bishana hamishis, toichlu es piri, then you're going to benefit. So the 4th year, you don't really have that much benefit. You're teaching the child and training them to be in that holy way. But from the 5th year, now you're going to start having nachas, because now the child's going to really start to learn and give back, and you'll be able to see all the efforts that you've put in, how it's producing real fruits. That's what he says, K'mayim Razal, Ben Heishanim L'mikra. That's why it's interesting, the Chachamim, you know, in Pirkei Avos we have, so Ben Chamesh L'mikra, at 5 years old is when you start teaching them Chumash. And this goes together with this mitzvah of Arla. That's how it works. Very interesting.
3 years.
Exactly right. Arla is the upshernish. That's the minya. Yeah, exactly right. Amazing thing. V'yaschaliyah says, Mach, it's a fascinating. Everything is so, like, corresponding. Now, the Kliyaka is I'm almost sure we did, but it's such a beautiful Kliyaka. So I'm going to see the Kliyaka because he gives also a whole different insight. Everybody has their own perspective on this one mitzvah. That's amazing. So he says, the Kliyaka says, so go to the next page on the top. So for 3 years, it's blocked from you. So as he quotes right from the beginning that we mentioned in the Rashi, Harbe and from the Rambam, Harbe Mefarshim Amru B'tam Mitzvah Zulufi Shayachayik Le'emayrim. He's quoting that concept that the Rambam says that it was the way that the Emirites used to act, La'asais Tachpulais. They used to have all kinds of techniques, all kinds of ways, magic ways, L'mayar Priya Ilan, to hasten the fruits of the tree, Kaidem Zmane, before the right time. V'chein Kasav Rambam B'sefer Mayra Nevuchim. V'asher Nira Karev L'muska Laimar. So now he says, what does make sense for us to say? Shemitzvah zu he kedei lasai zikarein lemaisa bereishis. This is the Kliyaka's view. This mitzvah is to make for us a parallel that we should remember how Hashem created the world. What does that have to do with Hashem creating the world? This mitzvah literally corresponds. How? Let's see exact. So he says very exactly. Because he says, we know a very interesting thing. Even though Hashem created the world in 6 days, but the truth is that on the first day of creation, Hashem created the potential for everything, and then every single day He took it out of the potential. So really, everything was. And the Ramban has a word, the Yuli, whatever, has a whole word about it. It's like a certain potential, and then every day it comes out, it reveals itself. So it's, everything was created on the first day. And everything was taken out on its day. So if you're talking about the fruits, right, when did they come out? We know on the third day. That's when Hashem officially created all the trees. So the third day is when they were revealed. That's when we see the fruits. Even though they sprout on the third day, we don't see them until the fourth day. Why? Can't see anything till the fourth day. Because on the fourth day, nitlu hama'ayres. That's when Hashem, as we say, hung up all of the, you know, the sun and the moon. Ham'mevashlim kol ha'peiros. Those are the ones that cause the ripening of all the fruits. Ki kulam tluyim b'shemesh v'yareich. Everything's dependent on both the sun and the moon. K'may she'nemar, as it says in the pasuk. U'mimeget tvois shemesh. Shamesh u'mimeget geresh yireichim, right? That there are certain things that are ripened by the sun, certain things that are ripened by the moon, so they cause the ripening. And when is that? That's on the fourth day. So it's until the fourth day you don't even see them. Nimtza shahayu mechusim, so they were hidden, u'bilti nirin, and not able to be seen, la'achila adyein revi, until the fourth day. Al-kein tziva lasai zikaron l'maisa bereishis, so we do a remembrance of that, sheyu mechusim, so we, as we say, cover va'atumim, blocked for 3 years. That's what arla is. Stay away from them for 3 years. Ki ha'arla inyana kisui va'atima, as we said. That's what arla means, to hide, to block. And then, why the, and the fourth day, yubiyem ha'revi, afal pi shenigmar bishulam, so they're taka completed, they're ripe. Nevertheless, mikol makoyim, lo'yhoya adayin ba'aylam shum bal chai. There wasn't even an animal yet, right? So who's going to eat it? So he says, lo'yhoya kan shum pelachlam. There was no mouth to eat it. So what happens? Ki'ilu lo'yhoya mitziyosam, b'yem revi, ki'im lo'hoydeis, u'lahalel bayram asher baram. So it says, if on the fourth day, the only reason they exist is to sing praises to Hashem, nothing can benefit from them. So here it is, corresponding to the fourth year, where we take them up to Yerushalayim to sing praises to Hashem. As Al-Kein Nehmar Kam Lezikaron Maisa Bereishis, U'Bishona HaRaviz, Yiyela Kol Piryei Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem. The fourth year they should be as praise for Hashem. U'Biyoyim HaChamishi Nivru K'tzas Min HaBalei Chayim. And on the fifth day, some of the animals were created, Asher HaYutzrichen Al Maich LaTzmochen, and they had to eat it. Al-Kein Nehmar B'Shona HaChamishis, Toichlu Esan. I didn't make the next page, but that's when you can actually eat Espiryam, the fruits. Very beautiful. 3 years, because it didn't even, I mean, it was hidden. The third year it comes out, but nobody can enjoy it. The fourth day comes the sun and the moon, starts to ripen it. Very nice. So what is it doing? It's singing praises to Hashem. From the fifth day, we start to benefit. That's when we can enjoy it and eat it wherever we are. Amazing how it all corresponds, a whole different perspective on the mitzvah of Arla. And then we come to the Sefer HaChinuch. Just think, I know we still have a few minutes. I'll just do a little bit of this inside. I know we're doing a lot inside, but I'll just, you know what? Maybe I'll just share something beautiful. This I had never seen. A very, very interesting insight about the mitzvah of Arla that it's fascinating. So we think about the first, it's 3 years. Then the fourth year we call it L'halel, Hilul, like praising Hashem because we take it up and we praise Hashem in Yerushalayim. So if you think the Kli Yakar just said it corresponds to the days of the week, how the world was created. But there's also something else. If you think about the Shvatim, who's the fourth Shevet? Yehuda. What's Yehuda mean?
Yehuda.
That's it. So interesting. So it's such a Yehuda means to praise Hashem. Again, the fourth year, we praise Hashem. And Leah said, Apam oides Hashem. Now I can praise Hashem. Again, everything is so corresponding in such an interesting way, even though obviously Reuven, Shimon, and Levi is a very holy Shevet, but nevertheless, those first three, I guess we can say in a way, you can't say she took for granted, but by the fourth, remember, we know why, because Leah realized that now she has more, right? Because there was four mothers, there was going to be 12, and now she got her fourth one. So it's a little bit uneven now. And it's interesting in life, unfortunately. Sometimes we take things for granted until we have something that we didn't expect. That's how it works. When something comes that we didn't expect, that's when we say, wow. The truth is, we should have zero expectation to begin with. So we're always saying wow, right? When we wake up in the morning, that should be the wow. But we don't. So that's what it teaches us again. So the fourth year, in other words, this benefit really should extend to everything. But we spend a year remembering and trying to internalize that. Another, just a fascinating concept about that. I want to see if there was something else here before we go further. Another interesting thing, because we keep on translating the word Arla as like to close it, to shut it off, to block it. So it's interesting, it says that the Targum Yonason Ben Uziel, he says, it actually comes from the words, you shall cut it back. What does it mean to cut it back? He says that you prune the fruits in the first 3 years, and that will strengthen the tree so that produces more later on. The truth is, you can do that anyway, but it seems to be that because you're going to be concentrating more on it, because you're not able to enjoy the fruit and you're waiting for the next year, so you'll put more effort to ensuring that the tree continues, right, and gives more fruits the next year. So it's a very interesting way also. Another beautiful thing that we will see more next week in Mirtz Hashem, that this is also in Kabbalah, we have the concept that there's number three, we have the number four, we have the number five, even in holiness. So in the concept of purity and impurity, you know, in Kabbalah, there's a concept of the shalosh klipos hatmeis, the three realms of impurity, and they are like considered realms of impurity. How we divide them, we're not sure, but they're lumped as three, and they are where we can't engage with them at all. So what that means is anything like treif, anything which is forbidden, gets its sustenance from what we call the three, the Gimel Klipas Atzmeis. They're the mamish impure realm. Then we know there's a realm of holiness, obviously, that's, you know, Shabbos, and any mitzvah comes from the realm of holiness. But then we have an in-between one called Klipas Noiga, right? That's an interesting word. Klipas Noiga combines both words. The word Klipa is as the first word, Klipa, which is a shell which blocks. That's what it is, like a peel, which blocks, that's why it's called klipa, because it's blocking the godliness, and yet noiga is the word is light. So it's actually the place, the area where is the mixture. That's the weekday. That's the parav areas, where you can either use it for holiness, or you can use it for not holiness. And that's our choice. That's the choice area. So those are the mundane, everyday things that we do. You know, the lunch on Tuesday, and it's not Shabbos lunch, but it depends how we eat it, right? So it's all, that's Klipas Noiga. And you can see here something very interesting with the mitzvah of Arla, although it doesn't go in the right order, it seems. But the first 3 years are like the Shalosh Klipas Hatzmeis. They're the three impure years. That's what they are. They're impure, and they're totally not touchable. We can't engage with them. They're forbidden to us. And the fruits that grow in those 3 years, their source is from the impurity. That's why we can't eat them. Then we jump to the holy, right? Which is the year that we take it up to Yerushalayim. And there the fruits are actually holy. And then we come back to what we call the mundane, the ordinary, the klipas noiga. Very interesting. The word klipa in Kabbalah usually actually means something negative because it's hiding godliness. But if we think about a fruit and we think about peels on a fruit, what's the purpose of the peel on many fruits? Exactly right. Exactly. Such an interesting thing. So in some ways, the peel makes it, it's a barrier, right? You have to take it away before you can enjoy the fruit. But in another way, it's a protection for the fruit. And this is the idea of the fifth year. The fifth year is when we learn, and this is really the goal. We have Shabbos, but Shabbos is only one day out of the seven. What we have to do is we have to take the holiness from Shabbos and we have to bring it into the weekday. So we have to make that the peel, the things that seem to cover, that seem to block us from Hashem, they shouldn't be blocking us. They should be there for us to use in a greater way that we can use it for Hashem. So if we make our normal day-to-day life, as we can say, with a higher purpose, that's the ultimate goal. That's the fifth year. The fifth year is the goal. The fourth year is a stepping stone to the fifth year. People don't think of it that way. The truth is we live all week for Shabbos. It's true. We wait for Shabbos. But Shabbos is also for the rest of the week. So it has both sides to it. And it only works together. But we have to remember, again, it's interesting. We always say, this is, Shemitah is only 1 year out of seven. Shabbos is only one day out of seven, right? It's not every day. We don't make 1 weekday and 6 Shabbos days. Because the goal of Yiddishkeit is to take all our daily, normal, mundane, physical life. And that's what we have to elevate to Hashem. So that turns the klipa into from something negative into something positive, something constructive. And that's why the fifth year, as we saw, is the year that Hashem says, I will give a tremendous blessing. Because the blessing is when we can truly live our life day to day, moment by moment, with realizing who's really in control, realizing that Hashem is the one that's guiding it, even if it's not holy in the official sense, it becomes holy. And it becomes the most productive space that we have. And that's really the goal. That's what Orla really teaches us. But we'll see next week just a little more. Sorry, because I'll stop over here. But next week we'll see a little bit of the Sefer HaChinuch, as we mentioned, a little bit of the benefits of going up to Yerushalayim. We didn't discuss that so much, but we'll see next week more in Mirtz Hashem and a little bit more insights before we move on to the next mitzvah. Okay.
It's very similar to the Bikurim in Israel. Bikurim.
Yeah.
On the Shabbat.
Right.
You have the food you get before and after. Double.
Really, double. That's right. It does say that. It says it'll produce enough for the 100%, 100 layer. You're right.